We're back now with Natalie Blue and Madeline Pario, who are the members representing the Artful Life. Do I have that right? Is that what it's called, the Artful Life?
Yeah, it's the Artful Life Counseling Center and Studio is our full name.
Okay. And when I go on the website, it's kind of intimidating because there are all these very attractive women with all these degrees who want to help people. And the website itself looks pretty amazing. But to get to the point here, let's start with what you guys do, who you are, and how you got started.
Thanks. So we are a group of both licensed mental health counselors, so we all have master's degrees, and then all of us have some kind of degree in expressive therapy. It could be art therapy, dance and movement, drama therapy, and it's all lumped under expressive arts therapy. Natalie and I opened the Artful Life officially as a group practice in 2016 here in Beverly. We've been working together for about 4 years before that, and we started hiring our own employees, and we really, I think what we saw on the North Shore was that there was a gap of services, particularly using the expressive arts to help with clients, and we saw a gap, and we often, you know, both of us have experience working in the community mental health field, and we were often the only expressive arts therapist in the agency. We would be, you know, toting our art bags back and forth to work with different clients. And so we wanted to open a practice where expressive arts therapists could really have a full range of creative materials to do their work with clients, and that clients could get the full benefit and range of the expressive arts therapy that we offer.
All right, before I ask you about expressive arts therapy, we're talking with Natalie Blue and with Madeline Pario, who are the co-directors and founders of this amazing service. What exactly does it mean to be a mental health counselor? Because I want to ask you about the term mental health, but what does it mean to be a mental health counselor? What do you need? What have you guys, what's your background in terms of working with people? What does that entail?
Sure. So mental health counseling is, you know, I guess the easiest way to describe it is psychotherapy. So, you know, most people are familiar with kind of the traditional talk therapy model, where, you know, there's a therapist in the room with a chair and a couch, and, you know, the client is, you know, often sitting across from their therapist and kind of talking about things that they're, you know, struggling with, or, you know, maybe they're experiencing mental illness in some way, or have, you know, they're looking for some kind of change, they're experiencing some kind of stress. And so the traditional model of that is, you know, talk therapy. And so all mental health counselors are trained in various counseling modalities. We tend to be pretty focused on the client and identifying their strengths, as well as helping them identify a way of being in the world that might be a little different than what they're experiencing. And so we build relationships with our clients in order to help them become more or less stressed, feel build relationships with other people. So that's kind of the more basic kind of description of mental health counseling as
okay.
a profession.
The term mental illness, I'm a man who believes in political correctness. I just do, because I to be less offensive to people, I think, is important. And the term mental illness kind of bothers me as a former educator, because it implies, I don't know, it just has a negative connotation, as opposed to, okay, you have a broken arm or you've been kicked in the stomach. But it's the same type thing, is it not? Mental illness is not something that you ask for, that you say, okay, I can avoid this. It's involuntary.
Yeah, I think that the term mental illness has a stigma definitely associated
yes.
to it, and I think the reason is because in the past we haven't really talked as much about it. We haven't had as much openness about struggles that people faced with anxiety and depression. Often, You know, it's perceived as something that someone can just, you know, kind of get over, or that there's, you know, something kind of permanently wrong with them. And I think, but that doesn't mean that mental illness or mental health hasn't been an issue, you know, for as long as we have been, you know, been able to have feelings and emotions. Mm-hmm. You know, the way that I think about it is, you know, mental health needs to be treated in the same way that we treat our physical health. So the mind and the body, they're connected. And so when we're, you know, when we're physically ill, I think it's just easier to understand it,
right?
You know, from our perspective, because we can see if someone is coughing or someone has a, you know, a broken arm, or if, even if someone has diabetes, we can kind of understand that. We can see and kind of understand that a little bit more cognitively. It's harder to understand that when it's an emotional, something going on with our feelings and emotion and our mind, which is extension of our brain, right? But it's just a little bit harder to understand that. And so that's, I think, why there's been such a stigma around it, is because we often fear things that we don't understand. We tend to kind of not like to talk about things that we don't understand. So part of us being on the North Shore and opening this group practice is to try to reduce the stigma around mental illness. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about what that is, but not just mental illness, but mental wellness as well.
And is part of that, letting your clients, your patients understand that? Because, you know, you mentioned the stigma, and that comes from people who are in families or who look at kids or whatever, you know, who are having difficulties. But a person who wants to go to you, maybe doesn't want to know, okay, well, you know, it's part of your brain concept. It's part of your overall person. You didn't ask for this, but it shouldn't be a stigma. So part of your recovery and your therapy is to have the person understand where she or he is at?
You know, I think it is really important to, and it's one thing, you know, I've worked before opening the Art for Life. I worked in various community mental health agencies on the North Shore. And one of the things that I learned in that work is that I was working with people who, you know, really struggled to get through the day, whether they were adults or children.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that therapy was something some people were being told, like, you have to do this, and feeling like, why do I have to do this? And so I developed this kind of concept that I thought it was really important for people to be, you know, educated consumers of this service. You know, therapy is a service. It's often a commitment. It can be challenging at times. And I do think there is some importance for mental health counselors to kind of, you know, lift the veil of what this is and help people become educated consumers about mental health counseling. You know, and I think that at its core, what we do is we build relationships with people. And, you know, relationships are very individualized, but the relationship is really the most important piece of counseling, because it really helps that other person be seen in a way that they haven't been seen, validated for their experience. You know, again, when people are struggling with their mental health, it is often so challenging for them to put it into words. And I think that's where expressive arts therapy comes in, and it can be very valuable, is that, you know, the arts, you know, it's about describing the indescribable, whether it's just through colors or shapes, or talking about texture, or using metaphor, or using movement, like these very tangible qualities of the art are, you know, an excellent way to kind of describe these internal experiences that feel indescribable for words at times.
Wow. Okay. That was Madeline, right?
That was Natalie.
That was Natalie. Okay. I got it backed up. All right. That was Natalie. So Natalie and Natalie Blue, what a name for a counselor, your last name, but we won't get into that for the moment. And Madeline Pario. You know, I met Amy Kerr. She works with an organization that she's got funding for called I Am More. And one of the things that she does is she has some people come in, she takes photographs, and she has them write essays about themselves, and they do drawings and so on. Tell me a little bit, and I don't know who I'm talking to now. I guess it's Madeline's turn. Tell me a little bit about a success story that you guys have run across, because you have a tremendous staff. It's a very big staff, and you have a diverse background with so many different people. But tell me something about a success story or two that we can relate to, and what is involved, because there's so much to talk about here and to learn about for me.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's a little tricky to talk about specific success stories because of confidentiality. We really want to protect our clients' identities and their own, you know, have them, if they want to tell their stories, we don't want to be telling their stories for them. So there is that confidentiality and HIPAA that we are also bound to. However, you know, we wouldn't be in this practice and for so many years doing the work that we do if we didn't see success from it. There's just no way. There's a lot of tough stories that we sit with and we witness. And if we didn't see the success of the clients, in terms of their different insights that individuals might come up with on their own, using the arts, those aha moments where they say, aha, you know, I didn't realize this about myself, or I thought this about myself for so long, and now that I can think about it differently, it feels like a burden has been lifted. I feel lighter. I'm not afraid anymore. There's so many success stories I wish I could share, but I can't go into detail, but there's no way that we would be able to do this work and not to be able to see the benefits. And we work with children, we work with teens, we work with adults, and so mm-hmm. It's really wonderful just from all the spectrum to see. One of the things that our tagline of our business is imagine a more artful life. And I think that is where the success comes from a lot of the time is to start meeting with someone who, you know, they know that they've got themselves in the room, right? Or, you know, their parents got themselves them in the room, and they know they have a sense that they need to be there. But oftentimes they're not quite sure how to proceed, where to go. And using the expressive arts, we can help them visualize something different. It could be just a slight shift, but it could mean so much for them. I hope that answers a little bit. But there's just so much. We work with anxiety, depression, phobias, trauma, PTSD. We all have been trained in trauma-informed work. So it can be tough to mm-hmm. sit with these stories, and but it is really wonderful and so worth it to see people's fear decrease, to hear that they're going outside more, to hear them interacting more, to have them have realizations about themselves where they have a much more positive mindset about themselves, where they are realizing that maybe things that happened to them in the past don't have to define them mm-hmm. anymore. When it comes to children, it's about, you know, helping them regulate themselves, find ways to express those emotions. Not that those feelings are bad, but that they can learn different ways to express those feelings and emotions so that people can hear them. And so their relationships with their families are improved, and there's less fighting at home. So I hope that gives you some example of some of the work that we do.
Absolutely. And go ahead.
I have another example
yep.
to kind of put out there. So, you know, if you've ever heard the expression, you can't see the forest through the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we help people do is see the forest.
I think when people are feeling overwhelmed or, you know, super stressed out or, you know, carrying around a lifetime of trauma, that they only see, you know, what's, it's like tunnel vision. They only see what's right in front of them. They can only see the trees. One thing that I have done with folks, and I don't know if you've, you know, ever made art, but when people make art, you know, visual art in particular, you're standing like right over it really close. So it's really hard to, you know, you're kind of focused on the imperfections. And a lot of times what I do with people, and I use it as a metaphor to talk about life, is as I'll put the piece, their piece of art up, and I'll ask them to step back from it and look at it from a distance. And when you look at a piece of art from a distance, you really get to see it. You get to see the whole thing, as opposed to when you're working on something and you're just in the details of it. And I think that, I feel like that is one of the best metaphors, too, for therapy, is like helping people step back to see the bigger picture. And sometimes when they have that experience, and I think that, you know, doing it with a piece of visual art makes it really concrete, like, oh, I get it. I get what that metaphor means. And then they start to, like, think of ways that they can, you know, metaphorically step back from their own life to kind of have a broader view of things and a bigger perspective.
I get that. That's a great point, because sometimes you see one pixel, and then online or on a photo or whatever, you move back out, and then you see the whole universe, whereas just one pixel, you might see one little dot. So that certainly makes sense to me. And, guys, I want to ask you, I guess sort of as a wrap-up thing, what does a parent, an adult, a kid, what do they do to get your attention, to get into your program, covering insurance and so on, and to be evaluated, if that's the right word? How does one reach you guys? And then we'll talk about the move. What is the process involved? Because I know that when my family was going through some difficult times, it was almost impossible to get someone immediately. It was impossible to get some treatment that we needed right away, but we didn't even know where to go. So what do you recommend?
Yeah. So, you know, for getting in touch with us, we try to be really active in social media. So, like you said, you found our website. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. However, the best way to get in touch with us for our services, and actually, again, like, it's been always really important to me to help people be a good consumer of mental health services. So you'll find on our website, like, an FAQ page about certain elements of, like, getting started at our practice, or what expressive arts therapy is and how it works differently for children versus adults. But the best way to get in touch with us is we have an intake coordinator. So that person's job is to kind of make sure that people receive prompt responses. You know, like, within 24 to 48 hours, a person will hear from our intake coordinator. And what Jen does is she reaches out to them. She gets kind of the basics on, like, you know, what's your insurance? And then she schedules a 20-minute phone consult. And so that time is, I think, one of the most frustrating things, like, for therapists who are in private practice, when you're really managing all that stuff on your own, is, like, finding the time to call someone. And, you know, I feel like, despite the fact that we have, you know, phones, like, surgically glued to our bodies,
yeah,
so terrible about answering them when we don't see numbers that we recognize. So that's, we came up with the system about, you know, so then you, like, do these endless games of phone tag. So now we schedule via email a phone consult for someone so that they know to expect the call. Those calls last about 20 minutes, and Jen will kind of get all their information and ask some questions about, you know, what their goals are, what's going on right now, why they're in need of services. And then, you know, we try to do our best to place people with a therapist as quick as we can. And, you know, after school and evening appointments are pretty tough to fill, because, you know, a lot, those are like prime time and they go really fast. And that's part of the reason why we're expanding and moving, is because there is a demand for our services. But we do our best to, like, maintain the wait list. Jen is great about checking in with people, you know, after, you know, if they have been on the wait list for a month, like, hey, are you still interested in services? But, yeah, that's one of the most challenging pieces of counseling, like, hearing people say, like, I've tried calling everyone and no one calls me back, or, everybody's full, and you know, we're in a mental health crisis right now in this country, and you know, figuring out ways to be more responsive and is been a big part of our process as a group practice as we expand. Like, how do we get back to people in a more timely fashion?
Yeah, and this is what we're, you know, this is one of our goals that we've always said, is we want to make mental health counseling accessible to as many people on the North Shore. That's why we accept insurance. We take most major insurances. We do out-of-network plans. Our intake coordinator gets back to people, like Natalie said, within 24 to 48 hours. So email or phone is the best way to reach us.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to a website, we have our main line, and we have our info at artfullifecenter.org. And then I know you're going to ask us about the expansion, but that's one of the main reasons why we're expanding, is so that we can hire more Express Parts therapists. And our wait list is actually one of the shortest, probably the shortest in the area, but still a little bit of a wait. You know, it's right now it's probably about a month. People are calling us and they're saying, you know what, I'm going to wait because I'm calling around and those larger agencies are like 3 to 6 months.
Right.
So we're trying to make sure that people are getting seen as quick as possible. It's not a perfect science, but we're doing our best, and we hope when we move to Salem that will be part of it, is to keep that wait list down so people can get services as quick as they can.
Well, guys, I wish you nothing but the best. Is there anything else that you might want to mention maybe I didn't ask you about?
Yeah, so one of the exciting things, too, about moving to Salem is, so we're moving to, it's almost 8,000 square feet. It's two floors. We are continuing the mental health counseling, the individual and family. But then we're also adding two large group rooms. So we are really excited to be able to offer group programmings, groups, workshops, after-school programs. We're going to be doing some summer programming in the future. So if people want to go on our Facebook page and like our Facebook page, go to our website. We're going to be rolling out some really, really exciting therapeutic groups and creative groups, drama clubs. We have a lot of great things in the works.
That is fantastic. Natalie Blue and Madeline Pario, who are co-owners and expressive art therapists for the Artful Life Counseling Center and Studio, soon to be located in Salem, and I will link to the website here in this post. Thank you very much, ladies. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.